We're quickly approaching the Thanksgiving holiday in about a week and a half. And so today the message is this: how can I say thanks? How can I say thanks? And you know, the Thanksgiving holiday is rooted in giving thanks to God. And we're going to get into that more next week. It's rooted in giving thanks to God. Those are the roots of the Thanksgiving holiday. It goes centuries back. And you know, we have so much to thank God for, friends. And all the good things in your life, all the blessings in your life, ultimately come from the hand of the Lord our God. Let me say it again. All of the good things in your life, all of the blessings you've received, ultimately have come from the hand of the Lord our God. You know, a lot of times we take our lives for granted, but everything that we have comes from God. Your health is a gift from God. Your ability to read is a gift from God. These are things that we can thank God for. This shelter here that you could sleep in when it's cold is a gift from God. That you could be in here when it's hot outside in the AC is a gift from God. You know, the ability to own a Bible in the United States without being persecuted for it, that is a gift from God. Your arms and your legs, the oxygen, your heart, those are all gifts from God. And we need to thank God on a consistent basis for His manifold blessings upon our lives. Let's not take anything in our lives for granted. You know, the overcoming of your addictions, victory over your addictions is a gift from God. It's an ability that God has given you to overcome that chemical addiction, whatever addiction it might be. Finances in your life, your food, your good relationships with other people, those godly relationships, your joy, your peace, those are gifts from God. So in this Thanksgiving season and beyond, I encourage you on a daily basis to think about one or two things that you can give God thanks for. Amen? Amen. All right. You know, I'm deeply grateful for something God did for my life about 14 years ago. Some of you may have heard this story before, and He saved my life physically, and I was living in Broken Arrow with my parents at the time, and it was a late November evening, and I wanted to go to church, and the roads were iced up. It was cold. It had snowed around that time, and there was ice on the streets. And my mom had told me, she said, "Jonathan, don't go to church tonight. It's not wise for you to do it. The streets are bad." I decided to disobey, and I went to church. Well, on the way back from church at about 101st and Delaware, I hit a patch of ice. I was going about maybe 40 miles an hour, more or less. And my car began to swerve, and so I got nervous, and I did the wrong thing. I hit the brake, and the truck began to spin. It's the truck I'm driving today, actually. It began to spin, and it landed on the passenger side. But I want to thank God for giving me the wisdom to wear a seatbelt that day. The truck swerved, it turned, it flipped, landed on the passenger side, and I was suspended in midair with that strap, with that seatbelt, and my life was saved. I want to thank God for saving my life physically at the age of 22. I could have been dead and gone, and I wouldn't be preaching to you guys today. But God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen? Amen. I got out of that pickup truck without a scratch on my body. The truck was somewhat messed up. I was able to drive home, but praise God, I came out unharmed. And He saved my life. And above all, friends, above all, the greatest gift God has given to us is the gift of what? The greatest gift that God has given to us, exactly, salvation, is the gift of eternal life. That is the greatest gift in the universe. Think about this. All of humanity, every single human being, all of us in this room today were once destined to an eternity separated from God. I cannot imagine an eternity separated from God. 5 minutes separated from God is too much to bear. Could you imagine an eternity separated from God? We were all bound for hell. But God, in His mercy, sent His only begotten Son 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross. And He was a spotless lamb. And He shed His spotless blood to erase our sins once and for all. See, the blood of animals in the Old Testament was imperfect. The blood of animals could not erase sin. The blood of animals could not forgive sin. But God in His grace knew that we could not pay for our own sins. So he sent God the Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus shed his blood, his perfect blood, once, the Bible says, and for all people. And according to John 6:40, if we believe in him, we now have eternal life. Jesus Christ and our faith in him has given us the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life. Amen? Amen. Say it with me today. God, I thank you for the gift of eternal life by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, we were once hell-bound, but now by faith in Jesus, we are heaven-bound. That's good news, isn't it? That is awesome. I mean, eternity, friends, that is forever and ever and ever. That means that when we step off this earth, step out of this world, we will spend the rest of eternity with God and with Jesus. That's an awesome gift that God has given us. Amen. Eternal life. So the question today is this: how do I say thanks to God for the gift of eternal life? Personalize it. How do I say thanks to God for the gift of eternal life? That's the name of the message. How can I say thanks? It's an awesome gift. We can say it the way the two blind men did in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you?" And their sight was restored. Verse 30 of Matthew 9. He said, "See that no one," Jesus warned them sternly, "see that no one knows about this." Verse 31, here's the key. But they went out and spread the news about him over all the region. They spread the news about Jesus all over the region. How do we say thanks to God for the gift of eternal life, the greatest gift in the universe? Number two story, historical account. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Mark chapter 5. Say it with me today. How do I say thanks to God for the gift of eternal life? Remember what the two blind men did, right? After Jesus healed them, he restored their sight. What did they do? They went and told everybody the good news, amen, about Jesus Christ and his miracle-working power, right? Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Verse 5 of Mark 5. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." This man had a legion, a number of demons that were possessing him. Verse 10, and he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and he told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Verse 18. Here's the key. Verse 18 and 19. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And what did the man do who was now delivered? So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Like the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9 that were healed, this demon-possessed man was healed as well. And this demon-possessed man that was healed did the very same thing that the two blind men who were healed did. What did he do after Jesus delivered him from a legion of demons? What did he do? He went out, that's it. He went out and told about what the Lord had done for him and how Jesus had mercy on him. And it says, the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. This man, who was once demon-possessed, became a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a sense, he became an evangelist. Come meet this Jesus that did this awesome thing for me. I was once bound by demons, but he set my soul free. And I want to tell you how he can do it for you as well. He went out and he shared the gospel in the Decapolis. That's good, isn't it? So for this demon-possessed man, his way of saying thanks to God, to Jesus for rescuing him, for delivering him from demons, his way of saying thanks was what? By telling other people the good news of Jesus Christ, that the miracle-working Jesus who intervened in his life was the same Jesus that could intervene in their lives. Amen? Amen. He is no respecter of persons. And friends, think about it. Think about it. Think about it. We were once bound by hell, or bound for hell. We were bound by sin's grip. And Jesus rescued us from the grip of sin. He rescued our souls from hell. You see, we were once bound by so much more than just demons, like this man in Mark chapter 5, friends. He was bound by demons on this earth, but we were hell bound. He gave us a much greater deliverance. Would you agree? He gave us the gift of eternal life. He delivered us from eternal damnation. Yes, he delivered the demon-possessed man from demons. That was awesome. And I believe this man was also saved. He put his trust and his faith in Jesus. But Jesus delivered us from eternal loss, eternal separation from God. And just like this delivered man from the Gerasenes was delivered from demons and went out and told about how Jesus did something good for him, friends, we can do the very same thing and tell others about what Jesus had done for us in saving our souls from hell. Is that making sense today? You might be thinking today, well, Jonathan, look at me. I'm stuck in the shelter. I'm so much in need myself. How can I do it? Friends, let me tell you something. There is somebody out there in greater need than you. You've got a shelter to sleep in tonight, right? There is somebody out there today sleeping under a bridge. Sleeping on a street corner. You know, after the 6 o'clock service tonight, you get a meal here. There's somebody out there that hasn't eaten probably for 5 days. There's somebody in greater need than you, friend. He saved our souls from hell. That is a great deliverance, right? We need to go out like this man in Mark chapter 5 and tell others of the mercy that God has had upon our lives. The same mercy that God had upon me, upon you, we can tell others he can have that mercy on them as well. Is that making sense? Friends, let me put it this way. There is nothing more powerful than a personal testimony. You can tell somebody, you know, I was once bound by drugs. I was once bound by smoking. I was once bound by alcohol. I was once bound with looking at things with my eyes that I should not have been looking at. But Jesus set me free. He set me free from the grip of sin. I was once bound for hell, but now I'm bound for heaven. There is nothing more powerful than a personal testimony. Somebody's not going to be able to argue with your testimony. Amen? You tell them the Jesus that set me free is the same Jesus that can set you free as well. Amen? Friends, let me put it this way. You may be the only Jesus someone else might ever hear. You can be the mouth of Jesus. Say it again. You might be the only Jesus somebody else may ever hear. And when we tell about Jesus, and we share the gospel, and we tell others how Jesus can set them free, that is our way of saying, thank you, God, for setting my soul free, saving my soul from hell. Amen? Somebody saves your life? You want to say thank you? Well, God saved our lives eternally. And our way of saying thank you is, you know what? I'm going to share this good news with other people around me. And remember, I know you're in need. Let's not go with those excuses. I know you're in need. You're here at the shelter. But there's somebody out there in much greater need than you. You might be the only Jesus they ever see. The pastor and his son. You might have heard this before. A good reminder of God's love. Every Sunday afternoon after the morning service at the church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into the town and hand out gospel tracts. This particular Sunday afternoon, as it came time for the pastor and his son to go to the streets with the tracts, it was very cold outside, as well as pouring down rain. The boy bundled up in his warmest and driest clothes and said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His dad asked, "Ready for what?" "Dad, it's time we gather our tracts and go out." The dad responded, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's pouring down rain." And the boy gave his dad a surprised look, saying, "But Dad, aren't people still going to hell, even though it's raining?" Dad answered, "Son, I'm not going to go out in this weather." Despondently, the boy asked, "Dad, can I go, please?" His father hesitated for a moment and then said, "Son, you can go. Here are the tracks. Be careful, son." "Thanks, Dad." And with that, he was off and out into the rain. His 11-year-old boy walked the streets of the town, going door to door and handing everybody he met in the street a gospel tract. After 2 hours of walking in the rain, he was soaking, bone-chilled, wet, and down to his very last tract. He stopped on a corner and looked for someone to hand a tract to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned toward the first home he saw and started up the sidewalk to the front door and rang the doorbell. He rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang it again and again, but still no one answered. He waited, but still no answer. Finally, this 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned to the door and rang the bell and knocked loudly on the door with his fist. He waited, something holding him there on the front porch. He rang again, and this time the door slowly opened. Standing in the doorway was a very sad-looking elderly lady. She softly answered, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a smile that lit up her world, this little boy said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but I just want to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And I came to give you my very last gospel tract, which will tell you about Jesus and his great love." With that, he handed her his last tract and turned to leave. She called to him as he departed, "Thank you, son, and God bless you." Well, the following Sunday morning in church, Pastor Dad was in the pulpit. As the service began, he asked, "Does anybody have any testimony or want to say anything?" Slowly, in the back row of the church, an elderly lady stood to her feet. As she began to speak, a look of glorious radiance came from her face. "No one in this church knows me. I've never been here before. You see, before last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband passed away on some time ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday, being a specifically cold and rainy day, it was even more so in my heart that I came to the end of the line where I no longer had any hope or will to live. So I took a rope and a chair and ascended the stairway into the attic of my home. I fastened the rope securely to a rafter in the roof, then stood on the chair and fastened the other end of the rope around my neck. Standing on that chair so lonely and brokenhearted, I was about to leap off when suddenly the loud ringing of my doorbell downstairs startled me. I thought, I'll wait a minute, and whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the ringing doorbell seemed to get louder and more insistent. And then the person ringing also started knocking loudly. I thought to myself again, who on earth could this be? Nobody ever rings my bell or comes to see me. I loosened the rope from my neck, started for the front door, and all the while the bell rang louder and louder. When I opened the door and I looked, I could hardly believe my eyes. For there on my front porch was the most radiant, angelic little boy I had ever seen in my life. His smile, oh, I could never describe it to you. The words that came from his mouth caused my heart that had long been dead to leap to life as he exclaimed with a cherub-like voice, "Man, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you." Then he gave me this gospel tract that I now hold in my hand. As the little angel disappeared back out into the cold and rain, I closed my door and read slowly every word of this gospel tract. Then I went up to my attic to get my rope and my chair. I wouldn't be needing them anymore. You see, I am now a happy child of the King. Since the address of your church was on the back of this gospel tract, I have come here to personally say thank you to God's little angel who came just in the nick of time, and by doing so spared my soul from an eternity in hell. There was not a dry eye in the church, and as shouts of praise and honor to the King resounded off the very rafters of the building, Pastor Dad descended from the pulpit to the front pew where the little angel was seated. He took his son in his arms and sobbed uncontrollably. Probably no church has had a more glorious moment, and probably this universe has never seen a papa that was more filled with love and honor for his son, except for one, God the Father, of course. Father also allowed his son to go out into a cold and dark world. He received his son back with joy unspeakable, and as all of heaven shouted, well, it ends right there. I should have ended right there. But God the Father was also so proud of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's good stuff, isn't it? This little boy, Jesus loves you, handed her a gospel tract, saved her life. She was about to commit suicide. It saved her life physically on this earth, and it saved her life from hell. That little boy was probably the only Jesus she had ever heard. You might be the only Jesus somebody else might ever hear from. Those words can change a person's life. Jesus loves you. Friends, you can go out and do it. God is giving you the gift of a mouth. He's giving you the ability to speak. Share those words, those life-transforming words with somebody else. Jesus loves you. God believes in you. We need to be the mouth of Jesus, and we can also be the hands of Jesus. It's the gospel in action, the hands of Jesus. A lot of times, your actions speak so loudly, people can't hear your words. In other words, a lot of times, actions speak louder than words. We can demonstrate the love of Jesus in action. Because a lot of times, people won't want to hear what we have to say unless they first see it in action. Does that make sense? But once they see it in action, they're like, wow, this person is different. This person has got something that I don't have. And you can tell them, the thing that I have that you don't have, that you can have right now, is Jesus Christ. So pray with me and receive Him into your life. The gospel in action. You might be wondering today, well, how can I demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in action? You can demonstrate it in so many simple ways. You can find somebody who's lonely, who doesn't have any friends, who nobody wants to talk to, and spend some time with that person. Find somebody on the side of the road who has a flat and can't change it. Change it for them. Somebody who hasn't had affection and touch, give that person a hug. You know, somebody who's going hungry, buy that person lunch, buy that person dinner. You know, visiting someone who's lonely in the hospital. And I had the opportunity yesterday to do this with a Christian brother in Christ. And speaking encouraging words. Jesus loves you, and I believe in you. God has got an awesome plan for your life. Friends, these instances, these examples that I just gave you, is the gospel in action. And when people see the gospel of Jesus Christ in action, they're going to want what you have. And they're going to say the salvation prayer with you. Amen? Let me tell you this today. There's only two things we'll take into eternity with us. Two things you and I will take into eternity with us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ and the good we did for others while on this earth. It's the only two things. Our relationship with Christ and the gospel that we shared with others in word and in deed. That's it. The good deeds, the souls that we help spare from an eternity in hell. Is that good? Your life is a dash. There's a beginning on this earth, and there's an end. And in between the date of your birth and the date of your physical death, there's a dash. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, you're living in the dash right now. Your life on this earth is but a vapor. But a dash. Be gone in the twinkling of an eye, and then you step into eternity forever and ever and ever and ever and ever without end. And what you do on this earth determines how eternity goes for you. Remember, your life has a beginning. You were born, and you will have a day of physical death. And in between is the dash. You're living in the dash right now. Will you make the most of your dash? Say it with me. I will make the most of my dash, my life, here on this earth. In Jesus' name. I'm going to say thanks to God for eternal life by sharing the gospel with others who need to hear it. In word and in deed. In Jesus' name. Amen.